Welcome to the Right Take Podcast, news, ideas, and conversations at the intersection of politics and culture, a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I will be your host, Mark Tapson. Welcome back to the Right Take Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Tapson. Thanks very much for joining me here at the intersection of politics and culture. Well, Marine veteran Daniel Penny was found not guilty this week of criminally negligent homicide in the death of homeless, mentally ill, part-time Michael Jackson impersonator Jordan Neely, who threatened and intimidated passengers on a New York City subway car back in 2023. It was a trial that divided the nation between those that saw Penny as a hero who stepped up to protect the frightened fellow passengers on his subway car, and those that saw only skin color in this confrontation, and therefore concluded that Penny, who was white, must have murdered Neely, who was black, because Penny is a racist vigilante. That's where we are in America today, thanks to the relentless racializing of every aspect of society on the part of the identity politics left. These are people who have a vested interest in reducing everything to skin color or sexual orientation, because that's how they exploit rage and guilt to aggrandize political power and push for revolution against a capitalist system that they view as oppressive and unjust. Anyway, as you no doubt recall, if you're aware of the general outlines of the incident, the circumstances of the controversy went like this. The 30-year-old Jordan Neely was described by witnesses on the subway car back in, I think it was October of 2023, as ranting in an insanely threatening way, declaring things like, "I want to hurt people," "Someone is going to die today," and "I want to go to prison." Court documents reported that some of the passengers literally feared for their lives. Daniel Penny, a fellow passenger, stepped up to prevent others from being victimized, subduing Neely in a chokehold while a couple of other passengers assisted until officers and responders arrived. Neely died later at the scene. In fact, when Penny was questioned by detectives, he didn't even know Neely was dead. And he was subsequently charged with second-degree manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide, facing up to, I think it was 19 years total in prison. Penny, who is now 26 years old, pleaded not guilty. Before his death, by the way, Neely had been arrested well over 40 times for multiple assaults, attempted child abduction, drugs, and indecent exposure. At the time of his subway confrontation with Penny, he was also under investigation for, allegedly, pushing someone onto the subway tracks. There was a warrant out for his arrest related to a violent attack on a 67-year-old woman. Now, the left would like to say, oh, none of that meant that he deserved to die or be executed, which is true. But as the jury ultimately concluded, Neely was not executed and did not die because of his past crimes. However, they are absolutely relevant to the case. This was a guy who was a mentally unstable, violent criminal, literally terrifying the innocent subway riders that day. If Penny had not intervened, it is very likely, certainly arguable, that one or more of those riders, who included women and children, might have been violently victimized by Neely, who then would have been simply put back onto the streets again by a New York City revolving door justice system run by left-wing political activist District Attorney Alvin Bragg. More on him later. Penny's attorneys argued that their client's chokehold was justified due to Neely's menacing behavior, and they also questioned whether the chokehold even caused the homeless man's death. The medical examiner never provided specific evidence to support the claim that Neely died of asphyxiation. "Some people say I was trying to choke him to death, which is not true. I was trying to restrain him," said Penny, who had to walk each day to the courthouse through a gauntlet of noisy Black Lives Matter protesters trying to paint him as another Derek Chauvin, who was convicted, as you will recall, of killing George Floyd, another drug-fueled black career criminal. Penny added, "You can see in the video there's a clear rise and fall of his chest, indicating that he's breathing. I'm trying to restrain him from being able to carry out the threats." But prosecutors in the Manhattan DA office didn't need to prove Penny intended to kill in order to convict him. They only needed to convince jurors that Penny recklessly caused Neely's death, whereupon they could convict Penny of second-degree manslaughter. Penny also faced another charge with a lower burden of proof, criminally negligent homicide. And to convict him of that, the jury needed to be convinced that Penny foresaw the, quote, substantial and unjustifiable risk of death, unquote, and consciously disregarded it when he restrained Neely for nearly 6 minutes. In other words, I may be about to kill this guy, I'm not intending to do it, but I really don't care if I do. Now, District Attorney Bragg's office wanted to argue that Penny knew such a chokehold can sometimes be fatal, and yet continued to pin the unarmed Neely even after the homeless man seemed to no longer present a danger. Of the 12 jurors selected, 7 were women and 5 were men. 4 of them were quote-unquote people of color. Several noted that they had personally witnessed or been victimized by subway outbursts like Neely's in the past. Now let's be real here. If the races were reversed and Penny were a black man who subdued a threatening white homeless man, the incident would never have made national news. There likely would not even be an arrest. We all know that a two-tier system of justice exists, not just in America, but throughout the Western world, in which the despised oppressor class of white heterosexual males is targeted for political retribution, while the protected classes are, well, protected. One of Penny's lawyers said, "This trial is not about heroes and villains. Danny was not looking to alter the course of anyone else's life, and certainly was not looking to alter the course of his own." As I've written at Front Page Mag before, while the trial was underway, in fact, this case actually is about heroes and villains. Daniel Penny is a hero. He did what heroes do, what men of conscience and courage do, which is put their own safety at risk to defend the defenseless. Not only should he never have been arrested, he should be given some kind of civic commendation in a public ceremony to encourage others to follow his moral example. God knows New York subway strap holders need some kind of assurance that they will be protected from unpredictable menaces like Jordan Neely was, who instead is being canonized by the Black Lives Matter protesters outside the courthouse as yet another innocent black martyr to white supremacy. The villains here are the progressive prosecutors in Alvin Bragg's office who targeted Penny because he is a white man and his purported victim was black. These prosecutors even referred to Penny as the white man or the white guy during testimony from a frightened witness who recorded video of Penny restraining Neely. One of the defense attorneys had to remind them that the white guy has a name. There were 2 endgames for progressives in this trial. One was to make an example of Daniel Penny and to punish him for his whiteness and masculinity because progressives hate both. The other was to foster a climate of lawless chaos in which criminals, especially those of color, are given broad leeway to rampage through society, for example, rioting, looting, committing random racist or misogynist violence, committing hate crimes against whites, Asians, and Jews, partly as reparations for centuries of perceived oppression and partly to demoralize the bourgeois populace, making them easier to control. In other words, Daniel Penny was being railroaded into an outrageous prison sentence by racist ideologues in the district attorney's office. A moral society should never stand for this shameful politicization of justice. And ultimately, this jury did not stand for it, finding Penny not guilty. New York City Councilwoman Vicky Palladino was one of those who attended the closing arguments in the case. She later tweeted, in part, "What I witnessed was a travesty the likes of which I didn't think possible in the United States. I saw a despicable excuse for a DA standing up in front of a court and flagrantly lie for no other reason but to destroy the life of a good man for the crime of protecting a train full of people from a violent, deranged bum. And it shows how nakedly and unapologetically political the Manhattan DA's office has become. Shame on us for allowing our once great city to descend to this level. I'd call it a clown show, but that would imply there's an element of humor in any of this. There isn't. I only pray that the jury can see through this charade and find Daniel Penny innocent. Either way, the damage has been done and the message is clear. The Manhattan DA will not think twice about destroying the life of anyone who stands up to criminals in self-defense. We are to be ruled by the lawless." Again, that was New York City Councilwoman Vicky Palladino commenting on closing arguments in the case. The jury initially deliberated for 3 days before ending deadlocked. leading the judge to dismiss the manslaughter charge last Friday. But instead of declaring a mistrial, the judge, clearly determined to find Penny guilty of something, sent the jury back for continued deliberation on the lesser charge, which came with a sentence of up to 4 years. This last Monday, the jury did the right thing and found him not guilty of that charge. Maud Maron, I may be mispronouncing that, who was a former public defender and parents' rights advocate running to unseat George Soros-backed Alvin Bragg, told Fox News Digital, quote, "The NYPD officers who initially interviewed Daniel Penny and declined to arrest him got it right. The Manhattan jury who heard all the evidence, deliberated, and returned a verdict of not guilty got it right. The New Yorkers and their fellow Americans who were rooting for Daniel Penny as a hero and understood he should never have been charged in the first place got it right. The only person who got this wrong was Alvin Bragg," unquote. Outside the courthouse, black supremacist Hawk Newsom, who is no relation to corrupt, power-hungry California governor and likely future Democrat presidential candidate Gavin Newsom, Hawk Newsom, leader of the Black Lives Matter chapter of Greater New York, denounced the decision as a victory for white supremacy and the KKK, and he called for black vigilantism against whites. Penny's supporters, however, including me, are exultant about the acquittal, but it surely must feel like a hollow victory to Penny himself, who was needlessly dragged through this legal ringer by race-mongering pro-crime activists like Alvin Bragg and prosecutor Daphna Yoren, who repeatedly referred to Penny as the white man during the trial. Yoren, by the way, was hailed in an article called 100 Women We Love in G.O. Mag or Go Mag, I have no idea what that is, for spearheading restorative justice for a black man who mugged and killed an 87-year-old Asian professor. Yoren is also, quote-unquote, married to a Black Lives Matter-supporting artist who specializes in Latinx, feminist, and decolonial content. So I think you can deduce from that that her political orientation inclines her to go soft on criminals of color and come down hard on defendants who look like Daniel Penny, because it's all about enforcing racial equity, don't you know? And though he's a free man, Penny's ordeal isn't over yet. Neely's father filed a wrongful death suit against Penny last week, even as jury deliberation got underway. Now, I'm just going to put this out there, and in all fairness, maybe I just don't know all the details. But I have to wonder, where was this model father when his mentally ill son was living on the street committing dozens of crimes? Now, I don't want to be unfair, but it's hard not to see his civil lawsuit against Daniel Penny as naked opportunism. Change my mind. Anyway, for now, justice has been done. Representative Eli Crane, a Republican from Arizona, even wants to award Penny the Congressional Gold Medal. Prior to the acquittal, Crane announced plans to introduce a resolution to do just that. Crane's resolution said, in part, quote, "Daniel Penny's actions exemplify what it means to stand against the grain to do right in a world that rewards moral cowardice. Our system of justice is fiercely corrupt, allowing degenerates to steamroll our laws and our sense of security, while punishing the righteous. Mr. Penny bravely stood in the gap to defy this corrupt system and protect his fellow Americans. I'm immensely proud to introduce this resolution to award him with the Congressional Gold Medal to recognize his heroism," unquote. Now, the resolution adds, quote, "It is the sense of the Congress that Daniel Penny, with integrity and honor that is characteristic of who he is and of his honorable service in the United States Marine Corps, stepped in to protect women and children from an individual who was threatening to kill innocent bystanders, and he is a hero," unquote. Hero indeed. Whether you wanted Daniel Penny convicted or acquitted says everything about what kind of society you think America should be. One in which righteous men are honored for intervening to defend the defenseless, or one in the grip of chaos and disorder, where the full weight of the state's law enforcement apparatus is directed not at the lawless and the criminally insane, but at those that it deems must be punished for the sake of racial equity. This past Monday, New York City jurors voted for the former, and I don't think it's reading too much into it to see that as a welcome, positive sign of a much-needed shift in this country. Domestic terrorists, like Hawk Newsom and Black Lives Matter, are threatening to turn Neely's death into another George Floyd movement to justify their violent anti-white racism and anti-Americanism. But this is a different country from 2020, when that George Floyd rioting swept American cities. It's even different from 1 month ago. The Trump election landslide has flipped the political and cultural momentum. As my colleague Daniel Greenfield has pointed out, quote, after the Daniel Penny verdict, Black Lives Matter couldn't sum it up more than a sidewalk scuffle. BLM was never anything but a front for leftist groups that are currently busy rioting against Israel. Without leftist backing, BLM is nothing, unquote. And Daniel Penny is free. It's a new day in America, and those who believe in American exceptionalism and who reject the racial antagonism of woke identity politics have regained the momentum and are making America great again. Thank you, as always, for joining me here at the intersection of politics and culture. Don't forget to subscribe to The Right Take so that you can keep up with all the important conversations we're having here. And if you like what you hear, please leave that positive review. I'll be seeing you. The Right Take with Mark Tapson is a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center and Front Page Magazine. Unauthorized reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.